We're going to be looking at what God's Word says about five ways that God wants to use problems in our lives. I've learned, perhaps through the school of hard knocks, that the problems we face will either defeat us or develop us. I'm going to say that again, because the choices that we make when we're facing problems will either cause defeat or development in our Christian life. The choice is ours. Unfortunately, most people fail to see how God wants to use problems for good and for our development. We need to trust God in His goodness for what He wants to accomplish in our lives. It's real easy to react foolishly. It's so easy to resent what God is doing. Rather than pausing and, like James 1:5 says, asking wisdom that God might reveal to us what His plans are for us. Well, we're going to be looking at five ways that God wants to use problems in our lives. First of all, number one, God uses problems to direct you. God uses problems to direct you. And a classic scripture that we can all claim is found in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. The Lord specifically promises to direct our paths. Our problem is that we want to have the flight plan all laid out. But there have been many times in my life and in the lives of my children, and I've seen it over and over again, where they have had to go places where they did not have all of the answers. I mentioned about my son Ben. I could throw in my son Johnny, my son Adam, all of them. And we always pray that prayer, Lord, You led in my life, please direct in the lives of my children. Trust in the Lord. The word trust means to lean on. Whenever we have an injury or an impairment or a surgery that may require us to use a cane temporarily or perhaps permanently, we thank the Lord that we can lean on that cane and it helps us to be able to get around easier and to recover and enable our injured appendage to heal. Well, the word trust means to lean upon, to rely upon. And God sends trials into our lives to teach us to lean upon Him. That's where the word trust means. And notice, trust in the Lord, not our abilities, not the government, not the things of this world or acquaintances. Trust in the Lord. God will send problems, and oftentimes He'll remove all props that we have a tendency to rely on. And then He says, okay, now lean on Me with all thine heart. Not some of it, not being double-minded, all of our heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Lord, I'm expecting You to work it out this way. We have to look for His wisdom. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. How do you acknowledge Him? By declaring Him as Lord of your life. By declaring Him as the sovereign God who is able to lead you. Acknowledge Him, and what's the promise? He'll direct your paths. Literally, in the Hebrew, He'll make your paths straight. And I'm here to tell you that God is well able to make the tenuous, serpentine paths straight so that He is able to direct us. God uses problems to direct us. You know, sometimes God has to put a fire under us to get us to start moving. He did it with Abraham, and He'll do it with us as well. Problems often point us in a new direction, force us to get out of the box, out of the comfort zone. We are so prone, I am prone, to get comfortable in that which we are used to. But oftentimes God will use circumstances to cause us to break out of the comfort zone. Problems often point us in a new direction and motivate us to make changes in our lives. And we don't like changes. I think of the example in the scriptures of Elijah. You remember in 1 Kings chapter 17. Oh, he was on the mountaintop experience at Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal. But then old Jezebel said, I'm out for you. You're going to be a dead man. And he runs away from the Lord. He finds a comfort, though, in the brook. But then the brook starts to dry up. But God doesn't leave him destitute. God provides ravens. Yes, but Lord, the ravens are unclean animals by biblical definition. And God says, I can do what I want, when I want, out of your box. And then what does he do? When the ravens stop feeding him, did God stop leading? No. The word of God tells us that God had prepared a widow. Yeah, but the Bible says the way it's supposed to work is the other way. I'm supposed to help the widow. And the Lord says, no, the widow's going to help you. The widow's going to help you. See, God constantly stretches our faith beyond the parameter that we're used to. And folks, I'm here to tell you that I think he's going to be doing that in the coming months, in every one of our lives. Taking us out of our comfort zone, the realm of the known, but God is still God, and the future is still his. I think of the children of Israel in Egypt. Oh, they had problems in Egypt, but God intended to lead them on. And there were new trials that they would learn, but God would lead them and direct them. God uses problems to direct us. And the problems that they encountered in Egypt, God had a plan for them, and he delivered them out of Egypt. I think of Joseph in jail in Egypt, the problems that he encountered, 13 years in prison, and yet God had his eye on that man to raise him up to the place where he would provide refuge for his chosen people for the allotted amount of time in Egypt. Paul experienced all kinds of obstacles. He wanted to go to Asia. And yet the Spirit forbade him. So what did God do? Gave him the Macedonian call. And the door was opened to Europe. And we know how he encountered Lydia and the Philippian jailer and all of the wonderful things. We need to learn to trust the Lord. But all of the leadership of the Lord was encountered in the midst of problems. So therefore, number one, God uses problems to direct you. Isn't it wonderful that every one of you raised your hand that you had a problem? Because I'm here to tell you that everyone that raised their hand can have the promised direction of God. And folks, that's a state of blessedness when we rely upon him and when our response is right. So God uses problems to direct you. But you want to know number two? God uses problems not only to direct you, but God uses problems to inspect you. Yeah, there are certain things in our lives that the Lord wants to reveal. Turn in your Bibles to the book of James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 2. And we can see that God uses problems to inspect you. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or testings, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You know, there was a man, and I think that Brother Glenn Miller, and I believe that Ken and Sarah Rigby and Linda Miller would remember Reuben Ewerts. By the way, I did a little checking on evangelist Reuben Ewerts, for those of you that may. He was an evangelist that quite often came to a former church, and he was up in years. He's still preaching in his 80s. His wife, 2 weeks ago, passed away with Alzheimer's. And she was his companion for over 65 years of marriage. But Reuben Ewert had the philosophy, he used to call it the bump spill principle. And basically, problems of life oftentimes bring up what is really in our hearts. If you have a cup, for instance, and there's something in the cup, and somebody bumps you from the back, and some of you have been through that. You're at a church social, and you're holding a hot cup of tea, and somebody comes by and gives you a shot in the elbow from the back unwittingly, and the tea goes all over the web of your hand, and you try to give a sanctified, ow, your hand is burnt, scalded. Well, you know, whatever is in the cup is manifested in the bump spill. A tea bag, you have to pour the hot water on it to reveal what is in it. Oftentimes, the Lord pours hot water through us to reveal to us that we need to do a little self-examination. And the Lord uses problems to inspect us and to reveal in our hearts what we didn't know. How many of you have ever acted in a certain way and then you rationalized it by saying this, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I wasn't myself." You know what? You were yourself. It's just that you were tested in a way that perhaps you've never been tested before, and what was in the tea bag came out. And you never would have known that it was in there unless the Lord had poured the hot water to reveal it. And the proper procedure is to confess sin, acknowledge it, and go on and learn about yourself. Learn about the mercy of the Lord. Don't quit. Keep on keeping on. And God's people are wonderfully forgiving with all of our idiosyncrasies. And I intended to say it and pronounce it that way. You know, Johnny Erickson Tata, pray for her, by the way. She's in the hospital as I speak. She had been in the hospital, then she had cancer surgery on her chest, and her chest wall has developed more cancer. She was back home, but now she's back in, and she's having trouble breathing. They have her on an oxygen situation. But Johnny Erickson Tata wrote a book, When God Weeps. And she gives the testimony about her original accident. You remember the diving accident that she dove into a swimming pool and she was injured and became a quadriplegic? Well, through her experience, God gave a great, great ministry. But in her book, When God Weeps, she was very, very transparent. And she reveals how through the trial, God used it to cause her to inspect her life and examine her life. And I want to quote as she writes in this particular book, When God Weeps. Johnny says this, "Before my paralysis," and she's describing when she was a teenager, because this happened very early in her life, "before my paralysis, my hands reached for a lot of wrong things, and my feet took me into some bad places. After my paralysis, tempting choices were scaled down considerably. My particular affliction is divinely hand-tailored expressly for me. These are the words of a true, tested, seasoned believer now when she writes these books. She sees that God specifically had a purpose in everything that God did in her life. She says, nobody has to suffer transverse spinal lesion at the fourth, fifth cervical, exactly as I did, to be conformed to His image. God uses suffering to purge sin from our lives, strengthen our commitment to Him, force us to depend upon His grace, bind us together with other believers, produce discernment in our lives, create sensitivity in our lives for others, to discipline our minds, to impart wisdom, to stretch our hopes. God causes us to know Christ better, makes us long for His truth, lead us to repentance of sin, teach us to give thanks in time of sorrow, increase our faith, and strengthen our character. And once He accomplishes such great things, often we can see that our suffering has been worth it. Folks, I don't know that I would have the tenacity and the faith and the grace that Johnny Erickson Tada has demonstrated. But we'll never know until our particular trial comes that we may face, and God promises to give that grace. But God not only sends problems to direct us, but He sends problems and allows problems to inspect us. Thirdly, the third thing how God uses problems in our lives is that God uses problems to correct us. I'd invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119 and verse 50. You know, when I preach through Psalms, there was a time on Wednesday night, we started in Psalm 1, and every Wednesday night, we went through to 150. And boy, I'll tell you, when we hit Psalm 119, that was in itself a series, going through the Hebrew alphabet and all of those Psalms. But in Psalm 119, and on sermon audio is a message on every single Psalm that we preached, and you can avail yourself of that in the future. You can plagiarize it all you want. I don't care about that. We churn and make butter out of the milk and use it in many, many ways to make many, many things. But in Psalm 119 and verse 50, look at the scriptures here in verse 50. Psalm 119, verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction. Folks, I want you to know there's a comfort in the midst of affliction. We can have a comfort in the midst of anxiety, a comfort in the midst of affliction. Why? Because thy word quickeneth me. In other words, it gives me life. Look at verse 67. The word affliction again is used. Affliction here is found six times in this particular chapter. We're only looking at three of them. Before I was afflicted, what happened? I went astray. God uses problems to correct you. Too many parents become enablers for their children, and in effect, short-circuit God's method of correcting wayward children and bringing them back to the Lord. But here, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But after going through the trials and the problems, now I have kept thy word. Look at verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Now, folks, Not one of us is a masochist, and not one of us likes pain. And if you like having bodily pain, you better see a counselor. I don't even know that I know enough to help you. None of us likes pain. But yet, the Word of God says in verse 31, we can have a comfort in the midst of affliction because it's good that we have been afflicted that I might learn thy statutes. The Lord wants to teach us. God uses problems to correct us. The point is, we need to pray for wisdom so that God will show us those areas. Let's not be like the children of Israel, where a trip that should have taken 11 days from Mount Sinai to Kadesh took 40 years because of disobedience, self-will, obstinacy, rebellion, and complaining. A problem can be a blessing, folks, and we need to trust in the Lord. Sometimes we can only learn through pain and suffering. A child may be told, Rollo, by the way, you've heard about Rollo. Rollo's 28. Did you know that? He's no longer a little baby anymore. But you know what? Rollo's still learning. I know that some of you are still figuring out, I wonder which one of his kids was Rollo. None of them. When Rollo, he insists on touching a hot stove. Sometimes a child has to get burned so that they'll learn that mom and dad were right. You don't touch a hot stove. We can try to cover all of the electric receptacles, and I recommend that parents with little children do that. In a daycare, all of the receptacles are covered and things. But children have to learn to obey, and that is true. And Hebrews, what does it say in chapter 12? The Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse 9, furthermore, we've had fathers in our flesh. In other words, we've had earthly parents that corrected us. And by the way, if you're a parent, God wants you to correct your children. This modern method of child psychology that has been spawned by modern day children psychologists, that was spawned with Dr. Benjamin Spock years back, and that's not Leonard Nimoy, okay? I'm talking about the pediatrician and child psychologist. He wrote in his book that children should be allowed to express themselves. Well, now we're reaping the whirlwind on that one, aren't we? Now, those children that were raised in that generation are now in our universities, and they're creating the monsters that we see today graduating out of the public school system. The Bible says, we've had fathers in the flesh that corrected us, and we gave them reverence. And you know, we respected them, and I respected my dad. But you know, I also knew that he backed up his word. When I got that look, my dad could look at me. Sometimes I'd be sitting a distance where Glenn is or Gene or Ken, and he'd open up his eyes, and that one look said, we're going to have an appointment if you don't straighten up right now. And I knew that he would back it up. And I loved my dad, and I had no question my dad loved me. But he backed up his word, and let me tell you, his hand brought a lot of stinging to my gluteus maximus, and I knew that he would back up what he said. And that's the way we realize. And we gave our parents reverence. The Bible says, shall we not then, look at verses 9 and 12, shall we not much in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down. See, God uses problems to correct you. Have a proper response. Lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. There may be someone listening to this message, whether in this chapel or in sermon audio. The Lord has chastened you for sin in your life, and you're either getting ready to rebel again, or you've learned, but maybe the devil has come up to you and said, well, God can't use you anymore. God wants you to lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths and learn from the corrections that the Lord has shown unto you. And this is where we as seniors can be of great help as we share our testimonies with our children and grandchildren. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed, it says in verse 13. So therefore, we can see that God uses problems to direct you, to inspect you, to correct you, but also, number four, God uses problems to protect you. And our God is a good God. You know, one of my favorite psalms, and I use it many, many times, and I've heard many of you quote it and use it as an encouragement. This psalm is attributed to Moses. We cannot be too dogmatic. We know the Spirit of God led the writer as he wrote. The author was the Lord, certainly. But in Psalm 91, let's read together verses 1 through 16. Let's read how God uses problems to protect us. Let's read verses 1 through 16 together. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh unto thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Problems can be a blessing in disguise if it prevents you from being driven into something more serious. You know, I'm convinced that when we get to heaven, one of the things that we're going to learn are the things that God kept us from. Through problems. Through adversity. Some of you were saved through a problem. God brought you to the end of yourself, and you realized that which you once clung to was empty and it slipped right through your fingers. And He used a problem to bring you unto Himself. And He continues to use problems. But the Lord oftentimes can use a problem to protect us, to keep us from experiencing something worse. I want to share with you a story about how God uses problems to protect us and then even deliver us. Long ago, in the days of sailing ships, a terrible storm arose, and a ship was lost in a deserted area in the South Pacific. Only one crew member survived. Washed up on a small, uninhabited island, in his desperation, the castaway prayed to God to help and to deliver him from his lonely experience. Each day this man looked for a passing ship, and he saw nothing. Eventually he managed to build a crude little hut in which he stored a few things that he had recovered from the wreck, and those things that he had made to help him eke out an existence on the island. One day, as the sailor was returning from his daily search for food, he saw a column of smoke in the distance. As he ran to it, he saw his precious little hut that he had so carefully built. He saw it in flames. Everything he now possessed was totally gone up in smoke. Now he was not only alone, but he was totally destitute in his struggle for survival. Stunned and overcome with grief and despair, he thought of taking his own life, feeling that God had utterly abandoned him. The next morning, he arose early and went down to the sea with the intention of drowning himself in the ocean. But there, to his amazement, he saw a ship lying offshore and a small boat rowing towards him. When the once marooned man met the ship's captain, he asked him, "How did you know I was on this island? I've been on this island so long. I've lost everything." The captain looked at him rather quizzingly and said, "Why, I saw your smoke signal. And by the time we drew close, the tide was so close we couldn't get to you. We had to wait until today to rescue you." And it took the destruction of all that this man had to deliver him from his plight. God oftentimes will take away even the few things that we're depending upon to show us that we need to depend upon the Lord. And problems can be used to open up a greater plan of deliverance for us. God uses problems. Yes, he uses problems to direct us. He uses problems to inspect us. He uses problems to correct us. He uses problems to protect us. But fifthly, he uses problems to perfect us. Job made this comment in Job 42 and verse 5. He said, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now, where I'm at now, having gone through the trial, my eye seeth thee." Trials will oftentimes bring character, experience, and hope. Read Romans 5, verses 3 and 4. Oh, how tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. God is more interested in our character than our comfort. And so often, we just fall into the desire for creature comfort. Well, let me just close by giving you this scripture from Hebrews chapter 12. The Word of God says, "Despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, what does he do? He chastens and scourges every son whom he receiveth. A little while ago when I began this message, all of us had our hand raised. And I know that God is going to do great things in our lives. But we just got to trust in the God that is there before we are and trust in him. Father, thank you for the wonderful promises of your word. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can declare victory in Jesus because our Savior won the victory for us. And when he rose from the grave, he sealed our victory and our presence in heaven. Lord, forgive us when we have wandered and failed to trust in you. Lord, continue to accomplish these five ways through problems in our lives to direct us, to make us conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.